This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of us, your faithful. Enkindle within each of us the fire of your love, so that we might go out not only for ourselves to be transformed, but that we might transform the face of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Happy birthday, church. We celebrate on this Pentecost Sunday the birthday of the church itself. I'm always tempted to say, and good morning, Cardinal fans, with everybody wearing their red today. Well, they had come from miles around as we are looking at the events of this weekend. A lot of attention was given to it. A lot of people excited about it from all over. And no, I'm not talking about the royal wedding. It was Pentecost. And all of these new Jewish Christians were mandatorily in Jerusalem for the feast. They called it the Feast of Weeks. Some called it the Harvest Festival. It was one of the three pilgrimage celebrations that they were required to come to Jerusalem to celebrate. And so they did. But here we have these Jewish Christians who have gone through all of this with Jesus, spent the time with him in those 3 years of his ministry, lived through his passion and death, then he is raised from the dead, then he appears to them, and then he leaves. And here they are in this post-ascension liminality. Liminality, the stage of any kind of pilgrimage experience we go through, where there's this disorientation. And we don't yet understand everything that has gone before so that we can go forward. And here they are. And the Holy Spirit comes. And how does the Holy Spirit come? Fire. Why fire? Those of you who were here last night, we had 7 fires up here. It was warm. It was hot. Fire transforms. Fire changes things. You don't believe me? Put something into a fire and you will know it is transformed. And that Holy Spirit's fire is meant to transform us. But how is it meant to transform? Well, if you got up early yesterday, perhaps you did watch our own presiding bishop at the royal wedding. And he talked about transformation. And he talked about what truly is transforming about what we believe. And I invite you to watch a short clip from his sermon yesterday.
The late Dr. Martin Luther King once said, and I quote, "We must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a new world. For love is the only way. There's power in love. Don't underestimate it. Don't even over-sentimentalize it. There's power. Power in love. If you don't believe me, think about a time when you first fell in love. The whole world seemed to center around you and your beloved. Oh, there's power. Power in love. Not just in its romantic forms, but any form, any shape of love. There's a certain sense in which when you are loved and you know it, when someone cares for you and you know it, when you love and you show it, it actually feels right. There's something right about it. And there's a reason for it. The reason has to do with the source. We were made by a power of love. And our lives were meant and are meant to be lived in that love. That's why we are here. Ultimately, the source of love is God Himself, the source of all of our lives. There's an old medieval poem that says, where true love is found, God Himself is there. The New Testament says it this way, beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God, and those who love are born of God and know God. Those who do not love do not know God. Why? For God is love. There's power in love. There's power in love to help and heal when nothing else can. There's power in love to lift up and liberate when nothing else will. There's power in love to show us the way to live. Set me as a seal on your heart, a seal on your arm. For love, it's as strong as death. But love is not...
transforming power of love. If there is anything that we can offer to the world, it is that love. Bishop Curry, if you haven't seen the whole sermon, go on YouTube and watch it. It's powerful. But what I want to call to our attention today in terms of Pentecost and that transforming power, if you noticed, as soon as he said, remember the first time you fell in love, and the camera flashed to the bride, and you saw this, the biggest smile of the entire two-hour service. I don't think there's a one of us, when we think about the first time we experienced love in our lives, that it wasn't a feeling like that. It is that Pentecost, with the power of the Holy Spirit's fire, is calling us to go out to the world and to share. Now, if we are going to be able to do that, I think we have to get in touch with a few things. We have to get in touch with, just like those first Jewish Christians did, with all that had gone before and understanding how that was going to move them forward. And this is important for us. Let me give you a few examples of this. We put up the next slide, please. You know the name Francis Perkins? Francis Perkins was the first woman in our country who was a member of the presidential cabinet. She was named by Franklin Delano Roosevelt after the Great Depression to be the Secretary of Labor, and she served faithfully for 12 years. Why do I mention her today? Well, here's why. You talk about understanding your past. When she was young, she was on the streets of Manhattan in New York when they had the Great Garment Fire in the building, and 146 people died. And she witnessed, just like many of us did on TV with 9/11, of people jumping out of buildings to try to save themselves, and of course, they died. This had an impact on her. She took that past and moved it forward to decide to live a life of compassion for people. And when she became the Secretary of Labor, she is responsible for a lot of the safety laws that we have in place in our public buildings today, largely responsible for the system of Social Security and workers' compensation that we have today. And by the way, a devout Episcopalian who was a member of the church in Lake Forest, Illinois, where she was confirmed. She took her past, a painful experience, and used it for good. Look at this one. Next, Thurgood Marshall, the first African-American member of the U.S. Supreme Court. And like Francis Perkins, we celebrate his feast day on our liturgical calendar this year because, by the way, Thurgood Marshall, a very devout Episcopalian, a member of St. Philip's in Harlem, New York, he served on the vestry at St. Philip's. I think I have a tough vestry. Can you imagine him as Supreme Court justice on your vestry? Here's how this plays out for him. He was at the top of his class, an extremely bright fellow. He wants to go to the university closest to where he lived, the University of Maryland. And even though he has all these incredible scores, he is denied acceptance. Why? Simply because of the color of his skin. But he takes that painful past and he uses it. He goes to Howard University. He becomes a lawyer. And as you probably know, becomes one of the greatest advocates for equality in our country with Brown versus the Board of Education and many other things that lead to desegregation and equality for all people. Transform, taking the past, understanding it, how it leads him to the future. Now, I had finished my sermon for today, before I heard Bishop Curry's sermon. And he just happened to decide to end his sermon with a quote from Teilhard de Chardin, one of my favorite Jesuit theologians. So I guess I could say that great minds think alike, but maybe it's perhaps, since it's Pentecost, just the synchronicity of the Holy Spirit. But here's another man, the same thing. If you go back to the 50s, he was persona non grata in the Roman Catholic Church. He was too radical. He was silenced several times and told, you can't write anymore, you can't publish, you can't speak because it's too, as they said, heretical at the time. And now he is revered in the Roman Catholic Church, quoted by the current Pope in his writings, quoted by several previous popes, Pope John Paul II and Benedict, and revered as well, because he wrote from his background of understanding that everything that happens, evolution-wise and personal things in our past, are leading us forward. So he has that horrible experience. What does he do? He uses it for good. He helps to transform things. He's got these wonderful quotes. If we go to the next slide. Love is the most powerful and still most unknown energy in the world. Coming out of what he experienced and writing that. Next slide. Someday, after mastering the winds, this is what Bishop Curry quoted, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love, and then, for a second time in the history of the world, man will have discovered fire. The transforming fire that is love. We have been gifted with that. Whatever is your personal past, God can transform that through love so that we can go out into the world. This candle before us, this Paschal candle we carried in here on Easter morning, the symbol of Christ being our light. It has burned every service until today. And after today, this candle goes away. It comes back out for baptisms and funerals. But the symbolic meaning of it going away is because that light, that transforming power of that fire of love, has been now transformed into our hearts. So that when we go out these doors, we are sharing that love. If it's something as simple as the wide smile of a royal bride, to just making a little difference in the lives of other people. Many times at our contemporary services, we use a post-communion prayer from Iona that says, "We have received the living bread and cannot remain the same." As we celebrate these young people in their communion milestone today, may we let that fire transform us so that we can transform the face of the earth. Amen.